It's showtime.
Okay, Tokyo,
South America,
Australia,
France,
Germany,
UK,
Africa.
Here we go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go, off and running on this, the 11th day of September 2019. This is The Horn. HeadOn.live is where you'll find us on the interweb tubes. That's where you go if you'd like to be part of the merry, wacky, zany, real-time multimedia extravaganza that is the chat room during the hours in which this program is live from 3 to 6 p.m. Pacific and 6 to 9 p.m. Eastern every Monday through Friday. We have reached midweek. For this second week of September, we have reached prayer meeting Wednesday. Oh yes, we have, brethren and sistren. Every program at The Horn begins with gratitude. This program is no different. Thanks go out to our 11th of the month subscribers. That's Tony and Chico, one of our longest standing subscribers. That's John. Thank you, John. Thank you, Paul, from Parts Unknown. Thank you to Mary Bell, and thank you to Christopher. Thank you all very kindly for being partial sponsors of the program, partial sponsors of the network, partial sponsors of this independent effort at progressive broadcasting. If you'd like to be a subscriber, well, golly, we sure would welcome you. You might want to hold off until the 13th, however. Between the 13th and the 20th, Ralph's is doubling subscriptions up to $50. In other words, five new subscribers, $10 a piece, get their first month subscription doubled. So that would be, that starts Friday, and it goes through the 20th. But it would be great to have new subscribers because, well, they fall off more often than they come in. And that just can't be helped. Oh, well. Hi, I'm Bob Kincaid. And so, the fundraising goal for the evening stands at $505, and there was no change from last night to today. We've got a drop-dead bill due on Friday the 13th, apropos, I suppose, and we need to finish fundraising for the week so that we can get everything paid up and not be, you know, sweating the ongoing existence of this little independent broadcasting effort. So the fundraising goal, $505. What that boils down to is, in terms of knocking out what we knocked out, we've raised $5 for this week. After knocking out last week, we've raised $5. So, or rather, I should say $95. We've raised $95 this week. That's not to say that you get what I mean, because we had a deficit from last week. So we're actually $95 into the fundraising for Monday. That means we need to finish yesterday and finish today, which adds up to $505. All told, though, remember, it's a bargain. Especially when you know what? There's a story out there. We may get to it when we're doing the not prayer meeting Wednesday part of the program. But brethren and sistren, I'm telling you, it's another one of those naked radio hot days in the studio. If it trust me, when I ascend to the podium here in a couple of minutes for prayer meeting Wednesday. I got the whole robe shtick going on, but ain't a whole lot under it. Not trying to be gross or anything, but you just got to get some air moving in there. And whew, I mean, it's 88 degrees. It's 88 degrees in here, not outside, inside. We had some way to catch that solar power. Lord only knows what would, but no. No, brethren and sisters, it was a hot one today. It was a hot one, like 7 inches from the noonday sun. And the little old blue-haired ladies, brethren and sisters, they were feeling it too down there in the fellowship hall kitchen. It gets powerful hot in there, and the air conditioning can't even keep up with it. And I guess that's why they got it in their heads that we'd have a cool prayer meeting Wednesday fellowship hall dinner. There was some serious grumbling amongst the deacons, I want you to know, when they moved through the cafeteria style line there in the fellowship hall kitchen, and they saw that the little old blue-haired ladies had put together they'd put together some bow tie pasta with with the green peppers and the onions and the cucumbers and like the Italian dressing, and it was ice cold. They got adventuresome with some Japanese soba noodles that they found on the Amazon, and they had that soba sauce going with that, and some thinly sliced grilled chicken breast to go with that. Yeah, and they had a big green salad, and of course some homemade ranch dressing with the buttermilk, and I mean it was all delicious, but it's not exactly the big plate of spaghetti with red sauce or the chicken and dumplings or the fried chicken that the deacons are mostly partial to. But well, deacons is deacons, and they'll eat what's set before them, and they went through that, and well, there was more side eye when the little old blue-haired ladies set the boxes of various and sundry frozen treats out for the dessert table. But again, deacons are deacons, and well, they were sitting there eating ice cream sandwiches and fudge bars and Eskimo pies and whatnot, popsicles, and those little old blue-haired ladies even got a bag of those Mexican-style bolis, the coconut ice cream treats that I've become so fond of. And well, then before you even knew it, the deacons were gone. They trundled their massive and roughage-laden bulk up those couple of flights of stairs and went out and stood in the parking lot to smoke with the sinners. And smoke they did, brethren and sistren, lighting one off the other, and they looked downright Sarah Hasselbeck sandbags-esque when Sister Carol Baker showed up at the vestibule door with the Cathedral of Common Sense solar-powered cattle prod, fairly crackling in the humidity. They even thought for a minute there that they were going to. I mean, they did. They delivered her a sure enough Sarah Hasselbeck sandbag stink eye. But I tell you what, it doesn't take but one. The yelp of one deacon touched by that cattle prod is enough to get them moving. They are the deacons are herd animals. You have to understand. And so with that, they began to plod and plunder and thunder and rumble and stumble and bumble, and went on through the vestibule door and through the vestibule itself and past that bowl of desiccating butter mints and down the center aisle. And brother and sister, and they're none too happy about it, but they're standing here waiting. They got their heavy brass bound velvet lined plates, and I'd be careful. They may pass those things with extreme prejudice this evening, trying to raise up that $505 and hopefully, make it possible for there to be a prayer meeting Wednesday next week, in which case they're hoping against hope that the little old blue-haired ladies will come to their senses and stop all of this damn near vegetarian foolishness that they had going on this evening. And so, brethren and sistren, we're going to call the minister of music up to lead us in our offertory hymn. And we'll be passing the plate and just keep every head bowed and every eye closed except the one that you keep open to make sure that the deacons don't hurt you. And as the plate comes by, brethren and sisters, just press that PayPal button in the middle, would you there? And hopefully by the time the offertory hymn is over, we'll be on our way. Maybe we'll knock out that last $5, so we'll be at around $500. Maybe we'll knock out enough to not be staring at $500 or $700 tomorrow. It'd be mighty fine if we did. So, brethren and sistren, again, with every head bowed and every eye closed, brother minister of music, if you would, please.
And he said, it's time for you to leave behind the things of this world. The fine houses, the fancy cars, the flashy clothes, because we are all naked in the eyes of the Lord.
Stop! This man is clinically insane!
Ladies and gentlemen, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, let me hear you say, Amen!
Amen!
Let me hear you say, Praise the Lord!
Praise the Lord!
Let me hear you say, I will empty the contents of my wallet into that little collection plate when it comes around.
I will empty the contents of my wallet into that little plate when it comes around.
And it's all tax-free. Hallelujah!
Hallelujah!
Praise the Lord for all the cash I've got. Praise Him for my Rolls Royce and my yacht. Serving God ain't hard with a credit card. Jesus died so I could make a lot. Praise the Lord, He's made us millionaires. Wave your donations in the air. We've replaced our hymns with ATMs, and soon we'll charge a fee on every prayer. Jesus Christ was a poor man, don't you know? He should have used our accountants for his cash flow. Stop the Sermon on the Mount, he should have had a bank account. 2,000 years with interest, he'd be rolling in the dough. Praise the Lord, this song's out on CD, just $40.95 plus GST. Hallelujah, plenty of moolah, solid gold baubles on my Christmas tree. I've got all of heaven's riches, thanks to all you stupid bitches. Praise the Lord for modern Christianity. Whoever said religion should be free?
Oh, mersey dotes and dozy dotes and little lambsy divey, a kiddly divey too. Wouldn't you, brethren and sistren, I love you. Welcome, welcome, one and all, to Prayer Meeting Wednesday on the Horn. Reaching out to all the shut-ins and all the folks at sea and in the air and wherever it is that folks are listening and worshiping together, even if you can't be here in the sanctuary with us, welcome, one and all. I'm calling on you right now. Brother Deacon Steve said, none too happy. What sort of popery is this, and what's it doing in our cathedral? None too happy, N-U-N. Oh, brother Deacon Steve, fear not, for we have none. Fridays. Just leave it be. I'm calling on you right now, brethren and sistren, to get on up out of your seats and onto your feet. Scrunch and screech and wiggle and waggle and waddle, and come on down that blood-red aisle. Walk without rhythm so you won't attract the worms, brethren and sistren. And fall upon your knees at the altar and lay your hands upon the subwoofer and feel the healing rays of common sense a-flowing through you. How glory from on high. I am Archpope, Uber Rabbi, Ultimate Imam, Animated Animist, Antagonized Agnostic, Vicarious Vicar, Maximum Metropolitan, Munificent Mullah, Good-Hearted Guru, Bob Kincaid, and this is Prayer Meeting Wednesday. And brethren and sistren, the deacons just happily reported to me that yes, the plates did not come back empty. Hallelujah, brethren and sistren. We've only got $300 worth of fundraising left. Brother Steve, a member of the Fraternity of Steves, Not Steve from New York, not Steve from Georgia, Stan, but Brother Stephen. Brother Stephen took us down to $300 to go with a Have a Show on Me. Thank you, Brother Stephen. Thank you very kindly. Hopefully others will join in with you in an act of faithless faith, because we don't do faith around here, and we'll knock it the rest of the way out of the ballpark and be well on the way to having everything taken care of by the end of the week and by the end of the evening, which after all are two separate things, brethren and sistren. It is prayer meeting Wednesday, and brethren and sistren, we have a Jerry Jr. update. You may recall that we talked at length last night about Jerry Falwell Jr. and his escapades at a hoity-toity lounge in South Miami Beach called Wall. You might even recall that Brother Scary Jerry wrote in with an on-scene report to tell us a little bit about that den of sin and depravity. Not quite as sinful and depraved as around the corner at Molokai, though, because apparently, well, there's livestock involved over there. Sorry about that. Brother Reverbo. Brother Reverbo had asked me earlier in the day to please refrain from referencing things like farm animals during the Eastern time zone dinner hour, and there I am doing it already. Sorry, Reverbo, sorry. Hopefully that'll be the end of it. But it's not the end of the saga of Jerry Jr., because apparently Jerry Jr. thinks he's Donald Trump. And what I mean by that is he thinks he can holler fake news and it'll just go away. Well, when last we checked in, Jerry had been busted going to that den of sin and decadence and probably some perversion in South Miami Beach. And he told the young man, the young reporter writing the art, writing the piece that, well, that wasn't him, and if it was actually an image of him, it had been photoshopped into the. And so that's when the folks at World Red Eye said, no, we don't doctor our photos, and you don't get to talk about our work that way, Jer. You may be the God Emperor of Jerry Falwell University, but you don't just get to slime on people. At least not unless they're paying you to do it in a place like Miami Beach. So Jer doubled down today, and upon inquiry, and with the photos having proven that he was there, it's kind of like an army that has fallback positions for retreats. You know, you retreat into the next trench back, and then, well, when that one gets overrun, you get up and you run back to the trench behind that. Well, Jerry Jr. has retrenched. And so now, he said, just for the record, I never denied going into a club with my family to listen to music for about 30 minutes years ago. I only denied I asked anyone to scrub pics of me. I never knew of any pics until a week ago, duh. They'll use lawyers and criminal authorities. We'll go after the leakers. The goddess of irony has Jerry Jr. in her hands right now, you see, brethren and sistren, because in that sentence he claimed that Liberty University, otherwise known as FU, Falwell U, he admitted that Liberty University's criminal authorities. In other words, Liberty University has authorities who are criminals. And it's probably true, because one of them is probably Jerry Jr. If you look at the shady, slippery, sleazy, sketchy, skeevy stuff that he's done in terms of enriching himself, his pals, his cronies, and his family, once he got his greedy little mitts on the reins of FU, Falwell U. There's only one problem. And what he was trying to do with that inartful sentence there, where he, LU's lawyers and criminal authorities will go after the leakers. Congratulations. Good luck. You know, unless you're just admitting that you're an organized crime syndicate and you're gonna bump them off and put them in some cement shoes and throw them in the James River there, yeah, it's kind of a hollow threat. But the important part is he said he never denied going into the club. The problem was he explicitly denied going into the club, saying, oh, that wasn't him. If it looked like him, it'd have been photoshopped into a photo of the club. Well, you see, it was him. And he's trying to lie his way out of it some more because he's desperate to make sure that he doesn't get Jim Bakered. You might recall that when Jim Baker went down, Jerry Falwell was waiting right there to take over the water slide for Jesus and, what was it, Heritage USA there in South Carolina? Yeah. Old Jerry Sr. Trundled his massive bulk and said, I hate to see the terrible things that are happening to Brother Baker. And we'll see if I can't make a profit off of this after I've relieved him of it. And so if he lied about being there, he's probably also lying about not having John Gouger, his IT hatchet man, try to downlist or, you know, on the search engines, those photos of him at Wall Nightclub. Meanwhile, those LU lawyers are probably having a conniption on the order of trying to be the lawyer for Donald J. Trump. Because, well, they probably looked at him and you know, having genuflected and kissed the ring and whatnot, and kissed Becky Falwell's hairy toe and all of that, they said, okay, Jerry, your eminence, your magnificence, your evangelical holiness, please shut the fuck up, because we're some pretty high-powered, high-billable hours lawyers, and we can make people's lives pretty miserable, but while you're running your mouth, you're making ours miserable. Please let us do our pettifogging lawyer job instead of sitting out there and creating another lie for us to dig you out from. Just go buy Becky another French maid's uniform or find another pool boy to play with, for Christ's sakes. But shut the fuck up. I never knew of any pics until a week ago. Duh. It's the duh that makes it truly smart-ass and prideful. Pride goeth before a fall, Jer. Pride goeth before a fall well. So we're just going to sit back and wait and watch and see what the goddess of irony does with him next. You know who I wouldn't want to be? J3. Trey Falwell. Because all the pictures of J2, they're at kind of a distance, and they had to be sort of cropped and enlarged till you could see his ugly mug there. But Trey was standing there with a glass of booze in his hand, and his wife Sarah was standing there with quite possibly the world's largest margarita, or possibly a frozen daiquiri. And I'm guessing they're, Scary Jerry can advise, but I'm guessing they don't sell many virgin frozen daiquiris or virgin margaritas in Wall Lounge. The virgins probably go elsewhere. Maybe over to Mokai. The Christian Post questioned him on it, and he got pissed at them. Nap Nasworth, no, really, that's a real name of a real reporter at the Real Christian Post, asked him about it, and he said, Jerry said, maybe it was photoshopped. I don't know. But you're missing the point. I never denied I was there 5 years ago. Well, if you were there, that kind of doesn't mean, it kind of means it wasn't photoshopped. And if I were you, Jerry, seeing as how you got some real seriously deep damn pockets, I'd quit slandering the folks over at World Red Eye. Because they're not public figures. They just take party pics. They didn't seek to be in the limelight. They're not held under the standards of, like, well, New York Times versus Sullivan, or, and I'm sure you're familiar with it since it has something to do with your daddy and your grandma, Falwell v. Hustler. So, you know, maybe shut up, Jerry, or else you're going to wind up having your name attached to a Supreme Court case. It's bad enough having your daddy's name attached to a Supreme Court case that he lost, in which there was a parody ad for Campari, in which Jerry Falwell Sr. was said to reminisce about the first time he got drunk and had sex with his own mama. Oh, the parodies just about write themselves, don't they, Jer? So on Twitter he said, I never denied being there 5 years ago, and I had no knowledge of any pics till a week ago. Hashtag facts matter. Well, they do matter, Jer. They matter a lot. And in your case, it matters that, well, you're lying like a cheap rug. And somebody's liable to roll you up like a cheap rug and take you out and beat you like a cheap rug, you know, in court. What's that, Alexander? Alexander says Jerry Falwell Jr. is a piece of shit and fraud, just like his racist pappy. Jerry Jr. explicitly lied about being all up into clubs. I don't speak that. I'm not hip like Brother Alexander is. So that's just kind of an update. And without a doubt, it's only the beginning of a series of disgusting antics in the religion industry. Let's check in, shall we? Oh, where do we want to go on this? You know those evangelicals? Like Jerry Jr.? Well, he's not one of them. But a handful of American Christian, you can put scare quotes around Christian, evangelicals went on a mission trip. Where'd they go? Well, they wasn't really missionary, and because they would have, they went to the majestic, noble, serene, high, gracious, puissant kingdom of Saudi Arabia. And no, they weren't missionary, and because, well, the majestic, noble, gracious, puissant kingdom of Saudi Arabia gets all head loppy about anybody getting all Christian missionary there in their country. Because they're so majestic and gracious and noble. But even as this 9/11 anniversary was upon us, Israeli-American author Joel Rosenberg led a group of evangelical Christians to meet with Crown Prince Mohammed bin Bonesaw, who is so, who is such a progressive leader there in Saudi Arabia that he has his political enemies chopped into pieces, even as they're screaming. And they also met Prince Khalid bin Salman, He's the deputy defense minister. His blood all over his hands, too. All in an effort to, I guess, well, you can't say that there were any efforts toward conversion going on. Because, well, that's not going to happen. But Mohammed bin Bonesaw, remember, this is the anniversary of September 11th, 2001. It's the 18th anniversary. It bears remembering that, what was it, 15 of the 19 hijackers were all from the noble, majestic, puissant, gracious Kingdom of Saudi Arabia, our partners in peace. But that didn't matter to the evangelicals. They'll go anywhere that they smell chicken frying or hear money being folded. No shit. It's disgusting. Just another moment in the utter lack of morality that attends the evangelical world. And then from about a month ago, because it's just now coming to light, well, yeah, it is just nasty, Jimmy, in the chat room. That's just nasty, Bob. Well, it isn't. Well, what do you expect? One of Nitwit Nero's faith advisors is a woman by the name of Paula White. And about a month ago, she was preaching at Morris Cerullo's church in California. And she got, well, at least she didn't speak in tongues.
Parents are primarily responsible to raise and educate their children. Don't even make me get started. Deuteronomy 6 and 7. Proverbs 4, 1. Ephesians 5, 1. 6 through 4. Listen,
Omaha! Hut! Hut!
It doesn't take any spirit of discernment or knowledge or wisdom to see that we have runaway generations.
And apparently it doesn't even take two functioning brain cells to rub together to get into the pulpit and hustle the credulous there like she's doing.
Opioid epidemic, suicide epidemic.
Opioid? I think you're missing a syllable there, sister.
Sexual identity epidemic. Where do you want me to start?
We've got an epidemic of sexual identity. We got an epidemic of people identifying their sexuality. God almighty, if only we lived in the days of the Old Testament when everybody wore a dress.
All over the place. And the problem is not the world. We can blame it on the liberal educational system that infiltrated the Ivy Leagues and go down. Listen, the bills that we fight are insane. Right now we're fighting bills in California in third grade.
You know, there's a whole lot of the Horn Family Community Congregation that lives in California. So I need you to pay attention to this. You might even wind up being part of the Horn Ad Hoc Research Committee this evening. She's about to list some bills that they're fighting in California. And it might be interesting to find out if they actually exist. Because I'm guessing, what with her being a Trump confidant, a spiritual advisor of Trump, and an evangelical Christian, there's probably not... two weak and dying cells of honesty in her entire body.
In fifth grade, that they put certain things on certain vegetables and teach them how to insert them in certain parts of the anatomy. In our public schools, while you're sitting here saying, Jehovah Jireh, my provider, your kids are learning everything about secularism and humanism because you don't even know the stuff that they're on. You don't even realize that Snapchat was created as the largest human trafficking because the greatest people on there were human traffickers because the FBI and because intelligence could not do it because it's live and it's real time and they can track your kid in less than a second and take them.
Evidence? Well.
Oh, I'm just trying to help the church be the church.
The applause there was a little thin, and so she's just... You got to keep the rubes worked up in a gig like this. It sounds like she's talking to a rather empty room, doesn't it?
Because the devil's doing a darn good job. And so you sit back and go, well, yeah, but she crazy. She up there, suppose she up there in the White House praying. You better believe I'm.
Wait, what's with the dialect? Now, let me make something clear here. This woman's almost whiter than me. And she's got some serious bleach blonde hair, and it's probably been expensively styled, and she's talking in what sounds to me to be an attempt have I got this right? A black dialect? Excuse me?
Your kid in less than a second and take them. Oh, I'm just trying to help the church be the church.
Pay attention.
Because the devil's doing a darn good job. And so you sit back and go, well, yeah, but she crazy. She up there, suppose she up there in the White House praying. You better believe I'm praying. You better believe I'm up there saying in the name of Jesus. You better believe that I'm walking around those parameters saying I lift this up and I dedicate every ounce of this place as holy ground. And I dedicate it by the superior blood of Jesus. And every door that God opens for me, I invoke the name of Jesus. I release angels right now in the Holy Spirit and walls of fire. I burn up every demonic altar in the name of Jesus, and I call it to crumble. And any assignment by any principality, power, darkness, and wickedness against this name.
All she needs is a sick beat, and she's gone. But no, the backing music's just not working. What's that? She's consecrated the White House as holy ground. Seems like there's some pretty unholy shit going on in the White House for it to be all holy ground, what with her out there stalking the parameters.
Against other nations is coming down in the name of Jesus. Let it all fall down. Let it crumble by the fire of God. Let it be burned right now. I erect the altar of God right now. I renounce every demonic spirit. I renounce every covenant made with Satan.
Can a DJ scratch something, please? What? What? What?
Because if you don't stand in a school system, on a playground, in a house, and you don't denounce and renounce the works of Satan and raise up an altar for God and raise up the holiness. Come on, half of us are afraid to even let somebody know that we serve God. If you don't boldly stand up and proclaim who He is, the devil is doing a great job at taking our generations, taking our kids. They're not responsible to raise your children. Come on, they're not responsible. Don't make me start. Please don't make me start going into...
All of a sudden, she puts her hand on the back of her head like she's going to rip the wig off. What? Yep, David in South Carolina stand has it. Skirt and skin and hair as white as Johnny and Edgar Winter. Absolutely, David. You know how it is. What's that? What's that? Lee in New York. Kids putting stuff in their mouths. Yes, hallelujah, kids don't want it in their mouths, but the school demands it. Now each of those organic fruits and vegetables. How glory. Darlene. Oh, wait a minute. Getting to the crux of the matter. She absolutely sucks. Yeah, she's not very good at this. She's definitely a second tier, third tier, fourth tier evil jealousist. I guess Trump couldn't get any better. Kind of like when the biggest celebrity he could get for his nominating convention back in 2016 in Cleveland was either Scott Bayo or Sergey Kislyak. Well, thank you. Thank you. Brother Alexander says, LOL, can a DJ scratch something? I love it, Brother Kincaid. That was classic comeback. Was this a band that she rented at the last moment and they thought they were supposed to be, and they were going to be doing a Baptist wedding or something?
Situations, they're not responsible. You want free education? Really? You want free health care? Really? Lyndon Johnson sent 100,000 social workers out, looked for every black pregnant woman, created a system called welfare, and drove the male out of the household and said, we're going to destroy the black community because we're going to destroy the family. When you destroy the family, you destroy the community.
Black like Paula. Lyndon Johnson did that. Did he? Son of a gun. I thought he destroyed the African American family by sending an entire generation of young black men to Vietnam to die in a goddamn jungle. What do I know? Stephen Vermont says, and gets a cowbell for it, evangelicist, that's why I don't smoke meth. Oh, I tell you, she's got the kind of stuff that makes your teeth rot and fall out after about the third puff. Kyle in Kentucky Stan says, you know, it occurs to me that the adults who are most worried about how people dress are the same adults who send their kids to schools where there's a strict code for how the kids are supposed to dress. Funny how that kind of loops back on itself. Yeah, the jazz band isn't doing it for me, man.
It's wrong! Until the righteous stand up and stop playing church and be the church, then the enemy keeps taking generations. But there is a remnant that God has raised up who is bringing forth the reformation, who says this is enough. We're taking back our children. We're taking back our community. We're advancing the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus.
Kingdom of God, my kingdom for a beatbox. God damn, this is unbearable. Ugh. What's that? Monique says, these are the most sex-obsessed group of individuals. I've learned that people constantly talk about sex aren't actually doing the do, which says a lot, because aren't most of these evangelicals married? Yeah, unlike slavery, right? Yeah. Kyle's still having some problems, too. Wait, how does a president drive males out of the household? Ah, fuck it. There goes my shirt to a coffee stain. Jesus, these people are fucking insane. You have no idea how many monitors I've lost to spit takes on Wednesdays over the course of the last 15 years, Kyle. So don't be looking to me for any sympathy over one T-shirt, okay? God. But it would not be... it would not be prayer meeting Wednesday if we didn't have a little something from two of our favorite broadcasters, Christian broadcasters, of course. And by that, I mean Jesse Lee Peterson. You may recall last week that he said he wanted to send Andrew Yang back to China or wherever it was that he came from. Yes, she did, because I just got a, oh, no, oh, shit, no, she didn't go there. This is from Alexander. She didn't go there. She didn't go there with black people. Was that before or after he sent all those people help all those single white females with children who've been the typical primary recipients of public assistance? Lying asshole bitch. That's Alexander's words, not mine. Ah, says Brother Deacon Asa. Turn that caterwauling down, Bob. It's like eating uncooked Jim Baker bucket food. Hey, you just watch it, Bubba. Or I may just have some Jim Baker bucket pudding shipped right to your damn doorstep. I can be mean that way. But, like I said, Jesse Lee Peterson, has apparently got a thing for Andrew Yang. There was some polling data came out that showed even Andrew Yang would beat Donald Trump in the general election was held yesterday. Whew! No more Paula White, says Flavio. We get the picture. She's awful. A dollar store Elmer Gantry. I wouldn't even go say no. No, she's definitely nickel and diamond it, Flavio. But yeah, Jesse Lee, you know, never mind Joe Biden, never mind Bernie, never mind Elizabeth Warren, never mind Kamala, never mind Beto, never mind Pete Buttigieg. Well, I think he's taking a run at Pete. I think he thinks Pete's hot. It's Andrew Yang that's under Jesse Lee's skin. Oh, please. Please get the hockey puck for this. Oh, wait a minute. The cowbells are flying fast and furious now. Jimmy has just named Paula White MC Blondie. She's trying to sound Elizabeth Warren. I have never heard. Come on, Jimmy, put down the pipe, brother. I've never heard Elizabeth Warren do anything like that. They're putting things on vegetables and teaching them to put them places. That's right. This is zucchini, and these are carrots, and this is broccoli. It tickles, and we put pieces of them in our mouths, children, and then we chew. And this is called eating. You'd like to hope that by the time the kids get to the public school, they've got that whole eating solid food thing down. I know when our babies were first born, Agnes was real particular about just exactly when it was that she could start adding a little rice cereal to their bottles. And then slowly we worked up to solid food. And, you know, when we're talking about babies, what passes for solid food is really pretty, pretty sad and thin. But, you know, the Gerber stuff, Agnes wouldn't allow that beech nut stuff anywhere near our children. And, you know, carrots and the plum dessert and everything. And then, you know, eventually, you know, Thanksgiving dinner, we pureed some turkey and some mashed potatoes and some gravy together. And by Jove, they liked that. And we never actually had to teach them that food goes in your mouth and you have to chew. But apparently, so anyway, are there for our members of the family community congregation in California? Is there some nefarious bill out there that seeks to teach children how to eat food? Could you check in on that for me? Because that seems pretty granular to me, and I don't know if I've got the research resources to sort that out. Just at your leisure. But now that I've given you time to get the hockey puck in, here comes Jesse Lee.
And JLP is in the news, so I made news this week for telling the truth. I made some headlines due to my comments on educated women and Andrew Yang. Newsweek picked up my show, and they wrote about it, and they put the video up there as well. Right when
Jesse Lee doesn't know much, but he does know that old saw from the PR industry that there's no such thing as bad PR. But there kind of is, because when you're becoming famous for telling an Asian American, emphasis on the American part, to go back where he came from, that's not a good thing. That just kind of marks you out as an idiot.
Radio host says Andrew Yang should go back to China. So
Yang. Say it with me.
Is running for president.
Right. You know, there was that one time that he did that video in front of a whole wall of full fifths of Maker's Mark bourbon whiskey. I think it was an endorsement deal.
Represented the Democratic Party, and he's a socialist. He's a communist. And he should not be in our country.
Was he about to say avocado and said our country instead? Avocountry?
Russian socialism. He should go back to China because they are for that. And if he loves socialism, then...
Now, it's cute. There's video that goes with this. They cut to the video on the screen. And the headline above the one that says, he says Andrew Yang should go back to China. The headline above that says, Jesse Lee Peterson says, Andrew Yang, who was born in New York, and whoever's doing the tech side for Jesse Lee, made that go away real quick.
Why not go to the country that he came from and push socialism with the people that like socialism? We don't like it here. It doesn't work here.
Yeah, because Jesse Lee only drives on toll roads, and Jesse Lee only drinks, and I presume occasionally bathes in, for-profit water. Don't like no socialism. And Jesse Lee, when he gets to be real old Jesse Lee, will never, ever, ever cash a Social Security check, because he don't like that socialism.
Not a socialist society like that. So he needs to go back. And so the people got mad at me for saying that. But what's wrong with saying that? Well, they said...
Well, it's the fact that he's born in New York, dumbass.
Say that he's from Taiwan or something.
New York!
But I don't believe he's from Taiwan.
New York!
Because the people over there are fighting right now to get rid of socialism, right? Aren't they having those... Isn't that right? They're having those riots over there?
Yeah,
in Taiwan.
Yeah, in Taiwan. They're having riots. Taiwan, Hong Kong. This is leading up to something. I hope you've not been so foolhardy as to spit out the hockey puck. Yeah, tonight just may not be good for Brother Alexander. I'm afraid I'm getting him worked up. Yeah, especially when Brother Andrew Yang was born and raised in the USA all of his fucking life. Idiot Peterson. Ignant needs to choke on a chicken bone and go meet his god Satan. What's that? Billable Rick? Was that third-rate female preacher from California for real, or was she just punking us? I suspect she's really a member of the Hillsong group, which ministers the music for prayer meeting Wednesday. No. She's a real live official spiritual advisor to Donald J. Trump and 2 Corinthians. Yeah, Jesse Lee's going, it's kind of rough for Tracy, too. This evil genital fool is really blaming LBJ for destroying black families and... Yeah, we're back to Paula White again. Being on well for real, isn't it true that there are more WIPPO on the welfare than black? Yes, that's absolutely true. Like twice as many, three times as many. And no, there are no bills about eating veggies here in California. Fuck these people. Brother Deacon Asa, JLP is in the news. At least Trump doesn't refer to himself as DJT. Steve in Vermont may be on to something. Subject line, Jesse Lee. One-third are engaged. One-third of the populace is disengaged. Jesse Lee represents the other third. One-third of the people are fucking stupid. That would be your maggots. Oh, Steve, in New York, I'm not going to read your email, but let me simply say that the power of prophecy is strong with you this evening. I'll share it after.
Is it Hong Kong? Well, I can't tell. They all look alike to me.
Ding!
Taiwan, Hong Kong, China, Japan. What's the difference? But, so the people got mad, but I realized that the people who are supporting this communist Andrew Yang, because he's promising them $1,000 or something like that, free money.
Yeah, right. Because that's, of course that's what it is. I'm guessing we might be able to get away with this. There's just something in my soul that wants to hear this right now. Okay, I had to. I wonder if there's some way. Let me see here. Back that off just a little bit.
They really think they're going to get free money. That's the only reason they're supporting him.
Everybody was
because this guy's pure beta male. Beta male! And he's a communist, and he's from a communist country. I believe it's China, sorry, China, Taiwan, or wherever he came from. And so I'm saying that's not allowed in America. Go back to where you came from. I'm not changing that just because you don't like the truth.
Yeah, okay. I'm sorry. When he got to, because see, what brother Deacon Steve wrote a minute ago was Taiwan, Hong Kong, you know, he wants to say something like, you know, all those Orientals look alike. He said almost exactly that, Steve. That's why I said that the power of prophecy was strong with you. They all look alike to me. What do you want to bet, asks Brother Deacon Steve. Old Jesse Lee accepts his communist 501c3 tax-exempt status. And it's all tax-free. Hallelujah. Of course, the other thing that got all over Jesse Lee was, he don't like the beta males. Beta male. Somehow it reminds me of Morticia saying, nails in. Thank you, thing. Beta males. But the people he really doesn't like are the women's.
See, I told you they're on an ego trip. She's proud to be educated, and being educated, there's nothing to be proud about. It really isn't. Uh-huh. It's it builds the ego, especially with women.
Well, you could tell Jesse lives the words he speaks. Being educated is nothing to be proud about. And Jesse Lee is not a proud man. Not by a long shot.
It builds their egos, and they really believe it.
He's working with his hype man today. That's the guy who's over there going,
They can be better and are better than men. And so that's why these men who are marrying these so-called educated women, they are turning their husbands into housewives. You know, they make...
Rumpf.
Them stay home. They make them babysit. They make them cook. They make them clean. They make them be the woman. And then when the woman come home, the man is stressed out.
Yeah, okay. Oh, God almighty.
acted just like the woman. But a real woman would not be on an ego trip. She would be happy to be a wife and a mother. And she would love the fact that her husband is the head of her because she loves the order of God. But these educated women are not like that. I would never, unless she's been born again, never marry an educated woman. You're marrying Satan's daughter.
Satan's daughter. It wasn't that. It's either Black Sabbath or Ozzy Osbourne. Satan's daughter. Isn't that? I don't. Well, if it isn't, it should be. But what's kind of fascinating about all of this is that, you know, we have a lot of fun with Jesse Lee. But he's not just a clown behind a microphone. I got a story here out of Tennistan. Reported by a real live, honest-to-goodness, no-kidding journalism news outlet, Action News Team Coverage Eyewitness Channel 11, WJHL. The story, they picked it up from the Associated Press. It's the story of Senator Kerry Roberts, a maggot from Springfield, Tennessee. A Republican Tennessee lawmaker says he supports getting rid of higher education because he argues it would cut off the liberal breeding ground. Senator Kerry Roberts called for eliminating higher education while speaking about attending a recent abortion legislative hearing on his conservative talk radio show on September 2nd, because, of course, he's got a talk radio show and sits as a Republican in the Tennessee State Senate. And he got pissed at one particular uppity-edumacated woman who called him and his Republican brethren, his white Republican brethren, out for their attempts to steal a constitutional right away from half of the human beings, or more than half of the human beings in Tennessee, namely women. Because she testified in favor of protecting abortion rights. He then claimed that she was a product of higher education. And if we can get rid of higher education, we can save America. He's not answering any questions because, of course not. He specifically is opposed to supporting higher education with tax dollars, unless it's a football team, occasionally basketball. Men's, damn it. On the other hand, earlier this year, when it came up for a vote there in the Tennessee Senate, he voted for the $38.5 billion budget that included money for colleges and universities in the great state of Tennistan. See, Senator Roberts here is why we affix the name Stan, or the syllable Stan, to places like Tennessee. Because, well, the Stan countries and places like the noble, majestic, gracious, puissant Kingdom of Saudi Arabia are vociferously and violently opposed to women getting edumacated. Because Jehovah and Allah and, you know, they're all the same Bronze Age monotheistic deity. Don't like them smart women. And I guess you'll never hear Senator Roberts or Jesse Lee humming along to the old Cat Stevens song, "I'm Looking for a Hard-Headed Woman." (laughs) It's real, Steve. I promise, Brother Deacon Steve. I've never measured your educated woman. Okay, it's official. Jesse Lee's jumped the shark. I don't think this is real anymore. It's real! Clarence in South Carolina. Punk as Peter said, what the fuck is this dude talking about? Punk-ass Peterson. Well, it makes sense to him. He just wants Andrew Yang to go back to Taiwan or Hong Kong or wherever it is. You know, Taiwan, New York, Hong Kong, New York. Mm-hmm. Yeah, what's that, Flavio? California's plant-based school lunch bill moves to assembly for vote. Maybe this? You're welcome, says Flavio. State bill to bring more plant-based meals to California schools clears appropriations committee. That goes back to May. Well, that seems innocuous enough that a serial liar like Paula White could take it and swear up and down that children were being taught to have sex with vegetables, which has absolutely nothing to do with having sex with Jesse Lee Peterson, by the way. Real women, Lee in New York. Jesse Lee says that a wife should love her husband. She should probably hold his hand as they walk together. Only an unholy couple would ever swap her husband's tiny hand away when in public. Ooh, did you see what Lee did? Did you hear what Lee did there? Swat her husband's hand away. Tiny hand when in public. That's that Jezebel spirit. That's what that is. But it's prayer meeting Wednesday, and we got time for just a little bit more, because our other favorite is E.W. Jackson. Or as we like to call him, E-Dub. Who frequently finds himself pontificating about naked men. Naked, muscular, hot, sweaty men who work out a lot and spend a lot of time at the gym. Men. Yep. Proving once again that the evangelical fundamentalist amosexuals spend more time thinking about gay sex than every gay person in America put together. Well, here's E-Dub. I knew Pete Buttigieg was going to find himself in this discussion somewhere.
But of all the candidates, the one that I find most loathsome, frankly, is Pete Buttigieg. And by the way, folks, it is not because he's homosexual.
Yeah, it is.
That, frankly, is not something that would recommend him. It is not because he stood up on stage.
Hold on a damn minute. I just heard something there. Is it just me? Or did old E-Dub there sound just a tiny bit prissy when he was talking about something would or would not recommend someone? Beat a meal! Oh, dear God, Bob's got a new thing to holler.
And gave a big, wet smack and kiss to his...
Hold on.
That, frankly, is not something that would recommend him.
Frankly, is not something that would recommend him. Oh, where are my sound effects? Whoop, 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 whoop. Dang, 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 dang. Yeah, klaxons, general quarters. Whoop, whoop, whoop. I mean, you tell me.
It is not because he's homosexual, although that, frankly, is not something that would recommend him.
No, it's not. Jesus, he's about halfway to church lady on that, isn't he?
It is not because he stood up on stage and gave a big wet smack and kiss to his male homosexual husband, lover, whatever he's supposed to be.
How come it had to be a big old wet smack and kiss? How come E-Dub's fervent imagination has to come up with the wet and the smacking part. This isn't Al kissing Tipper back in the day. It's not like he dipped his husband and stuck his tongue halfway down to his tonsils.
When he announced his candidacy for president, and I do find that to be thoroughly disgusting.
Disgusting. And folks, may I
just say something that I know you will never, ever, ever hear on secular radio or television, but it needs to be said.
Tell us what it is.
Homosexuality is not normal. It is not normal. And
it's only been going on as long as there's been human beings on the planet, so yeah, it kind of is. But then again, we can also always go back to what the late, great Peter Godbold said. Normal is only a setting on a dryer. Wait. That one's for Brother Deacon Asa. Jesus Christ, Bob, where's the fire extinguisher? I can hear the sound of E-Dub's burning loins coming through the goddamned radio. Yeah, I might want to throw some cold water on him. Apparently, Jim knows of which I speak. Piss elegant, no less, says Jim.
And normal people find it disgusting.
I want to meet the... I think what he means by that is normal people like him, E.W. Jackson.
Normal people find it disgusting. And look, I'm not saying that...
You know, before you can find it or think it or believe it or feel it... Well, no, God knows E-Dub might like to feel it. You got to ponder it for a little bit there. And this kind of means that E-Dub spends a lot of time pondering what gay folk do. A lot of time.
To try to be nasty or anything like that. I'm saying it because that is consistent with the biblical principles.
You know, biblical principles like if you murder a slave at night, you have to pay reparations. But if you murder him in the daytime, it's cool. Biblical principles like you're going to hell if you wear a Dacron cotton blend, get stoned to death if you eat a shrimp cocktail. Well, I tell you what, they got some great advice in that book, don't they?
That are enunciated around it. The Bible calls it unnatural, calls it an abomination, and there's no way that a normal person with a godly orientation will find engaging in and making public displays of behavior that the Bible says is unnatural and abominable. There's no way that a normal person...
The abominable gay man. He's really big and white, kind of a bear, and he's got a deep, growly voice, and a lot of hair. Abominable. Well, that's a humble bumble.
Person will find that to be anything but disgusting, right? I mean, how else could you find it? And
that's really E-Dub's problem, isn't it? How else could you find it? Because E-Dub can't find it. E-Dub would like to find it, but E-Dub can't find it. They got no clue, do they? Hey, how would you find it? Go to the men's room in the basement of the airport, E-Dub, and you know, wear some nice dress shoes and just work a little bit. One singular sensation, you'll find it.
I don't mean that as just some sort of empty ad hominem that I'm throwing out. Although I know the left will certainly.
Oh, he's empty, all right. His heart's empty. His heart is definitely empty.
Spin it that way.
His heart.
I'm being biblical in the way I'm expressing myself here.
Nah, you're expressing yourself, E-Dub, but biblical ain't how. E-Dub, buddy, you done set off the gaydar of every gay person in the Horn Family Community Congregation from Maine to Spain and home to Rome.
And therefore, while most people would never admit it because they know the opprobrium and the persecution and the attacks that come as a result, I think most people in the country saw that, heard that, and thought, you know, how disgusting. I mean, just disgusting. Well, but here...
He sure does like to talk a lot about what disgusts him, doesn't he?
Here again. But it's not for that. It's not for that. Here's what disgusts me about Pete Buttigieg.
We've been waiting, E-Dub. We've been waiting. Testify.
That unlike the other candidates who are openly and blatantly godless, okay? Bernie Sanders is godless. I mean, he's...
Yeah, he's one of them godless Christ-killing Jews. That's what Bernie is. They got no idea, do they? Mm-mm. I got even odds that we're going to find out that Kamala Harris is a Kalima, Kalima.
So I think he's an atheist, and the rest of them have no reference or mention of God whatsoever. Pete Buttigieg tries to couch his policy positions and his ideas and his persona as somehow this evangelical, born-again Christian, and...
No, he doesn't, you lying sack of shit. He's an Episcopalian. And they ain't exactly... The chosen frozen. They're not exactly Southern Baptists, those Episcopalians. Uh-uh. Steve, Brother Deacon Steve, says, honestly, Bob, not one thing he's saying is biblical. Seriously. In fact, I will go so far as to say that he doesn't know the first thing about the Bible, and this coming from someone who generally finds it ridiculous and silly. Well, no, of course not. Being biblical is not part of the hustle, Brother Steve. The hustle is to keep those checks coming in, and it's all tax-free, hallelujah. That's what that's all about. By the way, that metallic noise you've been hearing, I got a new sustainable water bottle, and you got to unscrew the lid from time to time. It's not the unscrewing that's EW's problem.
But he has these bizarre ideas about what Christianity stands for and what it...
Yeah, feeding the poor, housing the homeless, tending the sick, not shitting on people for just because you can. Bizarre ideas of what Christianity stands for. Bizarre. See, this is... I try to tell the deacons. Not to piss and moan about what the little old blue-haired ladies put up for supper. But now they get to stand here and listen to every last bit of this. You know, much more Jesse Lee and E-Dub, and... Well... The deacons may start trimming down a little bit. Yep, and all that Matthew 25 stuff. Randy in PA says visiting people in prison. Mm-hmm. Jim just says, "Get it, Miss Thang."
Means, and I find that not only hypocritical, I find it folks, if I may say it this way, I find it more perverse than his lifestyle.
It's perverse that Pete Buttigieg doesn't subscribe to the same religion of hate principles that E.W. Jackson does. What he's saying is that it's not really Christianity if it isn't predicated upon bigotry and hate. And that's really... Well, is he right? I mean, Christianity can be pretty hateful. Those Matthew 25 teachings were kind of revolutionary for their day. But everything that comes after Luke, that's when the weird shit really starts.
Let me say that again, because I really think that that bears repeating. I find his using God to be more perverse than his lifestyle. Because, look, while I certainly disagree with homosexuality...
Oh, I don't think you disagree as much as you'd like us to think you disagree, Dub.
People are free in this country to...
I did not make him come.
...engage in that behavior. And one can criticize it and say, you know, it's not right, and I don't agree with it, and I don't want to see it promoted, and I don't want to see it somehow... normalized in our country, but I respect their right to, you know, do what they want to do.
No, you don't. A minute ago, they were an abomination. You want to have them stoned to death, like in the Old Testament.
But when you start invoking God, you have gone beyond mere sin. You are into blasphemous sin. You are blaspheming God in the process. You know what I liken it to? I liken this, folks, to a pastor or a priest exploiting a vulnerable member of his or her parish or church and telling them that this is what God wants them to do.
Which is kind of ironic because that's what he's done for the last... 4 minutes and 42 seconds. It's what the entire Christian hate industry does each and every day. 52 weeks a year. And has for ages. If they couldn't do that, there would be no Christianity. Flavio has done the math now. A vegan school lunch option could lead to homosexuality. That's it. Veganism's a slippery slope, a gateway drug. See how it works? This from Jimmy in the Great Northwest. E.W. Eileen Wilma Jackson. Wilma! Oh, help me, Jesus. Oh, we're down to $300 to go to finish fundraising and catch up all the way to the middle of the week. Take a little break now. Not taking a break, but running over before I just start speaking in tongues or something and check in with Tracy and see if she can... Tracy's either going to come out here with me on the ledge or she's going to pull me back inside. Hey, Tracy.
Hey, honey, how are you?
You pick. Out on the ledge or me back in?
Let's see. Well, you know, I appreciate you, you know, because I appreciate the Black History Month moment in September. But why
oh, that's cold.
It's like... Yeah.
Black History Month in September, yeah. Well, Monique pointed that out. She said, yeah, what I was talking about was, like, slavery didn't break up black families. No, it was all Lyndon Johnson.
Right. It's like, come on. Between old girl and these two fools, it's just, you know, and EW's going to really hate me. I mean, between Jesse Lee, because see, I'm educated. So then I'm, you know, I'm a
daughter of Satan.
Woman.
Daughter of Satan. Yes.
Daughter of Satan. And then
wouldn't that just be an awesome all girl heavy metal band? Daughters of Satan.
Yes. Or a biker club.
At the Pomona Civic Center, Tuesday night. Billable Rick will be there.
Yes, he would. Yes, he would.
Daughters of Satan.
Yeah.
And they could come out and argue and argue the materialist dialectic.
That part. And then EW will be pissed at me as well because I'm a lesbian and I'm a Christian. So I'm a blasphemer?
You're an abomination.
An abominating blasphemer?
And a blaspheming abominator.
And a blaspheming abominator. Wow, say that five times fast, could you? So, I'm speechless. I mean, besides the fact, okay, so the ignorance, because I have to bounce back and forth on these people. So Jesse Lee is telling Andrew Yang to go back to wherever he came from, and, well, you know, they all look alike. Holy shit. I was like, how high is the level of ignorance of this fool? Because if Andrew Yang was from an Asian, you know, born in an Asian country, he couldn't run for president, right?
Well, there is that little thing. But what Jesse Lee knows about the Constitution, if you put it in a thimble, a piss ant wouldn't get his feet wet.
Right. So I'm like, dude, seriously? Well, but because when, you know, I was driving, pit stop to speak while you were talking about them. There's an Italian. See, I never should find these kind of places. And I found this Italian bakery deli the other day by chance. And I have these cookies, Bob. They're long, thin cookies with powdered sugar and like a raspberry center that they make. They bake
don't be talking about things being long and thin when we're talking about Jesse Lee and E-Dub.
Oh, my goodness. But they want it big and thick, baby.
Yeah, E-Dub don't want no long and thin.
No, he don't want no long and thin, honey. He wants the pounding. He wants it big and strong and sweaty.
He's a pound cake guy.
He's pound cake. And then he does this side of the pissy. It's just disgusting.
Well, you're the first person I've had the opportunity to check in with. Was that just a little bit prissy back there?
Oh, not. It was. You could tell he was trying hard not for it to be prissy, because he was trying to, you know, slow down his speech. But no, it's just disgusting and homosexuality. And I'm like, dude, seriously?
You know, you put so much meaning into one little adverb. Seriously?
Seriously? It's like, and depending on, you know, how tired I am, it's either seriously or seriously. You know, so I listen to these people and I feel bad for them because they can't seem, they don't understand how ridiculously hateful they are. No, I take that back, they do. I gave them too much credit. They do understand how ridiculously hateful they are. And when they call claim to saying that I'm speaking on biblical principles, fuck you. It's like there's nothing in, I mean, yes, the Bible can be kind of hate, can be pretty hateful, but if you're talking as a true Christian, you don't talk about, you know, people being disgusting. You don't talk about, you know, you're not supposed to be talking hate-filled. You're not supposed to be talking about children having sex with vegetables. Does she really say?
She
now,
did. Yes.
Say so. Okay. So, what is this supposed? What are they supposed to be putting on these vegetables? Is it, you know, is it a special lube? You know, for the.
I'm guessing condoms. I'm guessing there's like a safe sex lecture somewhere along the way, you know, probably for kids in like 9th, 10th grade, about the, or maybe 7th or 8th, considering how things happen now. And they do the thing where they roll a condom over a cucumber or a banana.
Just show them how
but,
to put
it on. But, you know, to believe Sister Paula White there, they go on and show people how to, you know, deep throat the banana or...
Or, you know,
because again, and I can't emphasize this enough, they spend an inordinate amount of time thinking about this stuff, which kind of leads to the next step, which is wondering about it. There's a difference between right. thinking about it and wondering about it. And next thing you know, Paula White's getting hit with a hot flash in the fruits and vegetables there at Ralph's.
Dude, I mean, I don't know. Because I don't know a lot of gay people, even though I'm a lesbian, because, again, you know, my wife finally calls me dykeling, and I really haven't been in this quote-unquote lifestyle, what the fuck, for 7 years. So I don't have a large contingent of gay and lesbian friends. I may be, you know, even at my church or what have you. But I can guarantee you that most of the people that I know within my community, they don't really think about sex that much. But I am older. See, that's another thing. So, you know, I am a woman of a certain age. And so, and most of my friends within the community of are of a certain age as well. So, again, we're just thinking about, you know, being, you know, drinking enough water to be regular. And, you know, making sure the high blood pressure, cholesterol medications are on tap. You know, I mean, we think about just stuff that, you know, are going to keep us moving. And a lot of times, shit, sex is just too much time. Sex is tiresome. Most of us, you don't even have, we're not even limber enough to do most of the stuff that these people be worrying about. Because, you know, joints, I mean, we're older. It's like, you know, Jesus.
Crotchety even.
Thank you. I'm a step away from yelling at a kid. Get out my lawn. You know, I'm getting to that age, Bob. You know, shit. I swear to Jesus. And I did a poll the last time. I was on it, you know, there was about somebody, how much, you know, evil genitals talk about sex and worry about who we're having sex with, where we're going to the bathroom, so forth and so on, yada, 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 yada. And I asked my friends, I'm like, how often do you think about, look, most of my friends that are in like committed relationships, if they have a house, or apartment that has two bedrooms in it, most of the time they don't even sleep in the same room anymore. Because one, you know, wants to sleep the TV on, one snores, one does this or what have you. So shit, most of us don't even sleep in the same room anymore. Come on. Anywho, I don't
but
know.
But E-Dub doesn't want to hear that. Because
no,
it would be the ruination of the last vestiges of his sexuality. That is his ability to masturbate over fantasies of what gay people do.
Right. Oh, and speaking of EW and his how does he know that Mayor Pete gave his husband a wet? Does he have a kiss-o-meter? Was he there on stage?
Well, you know, they've got that's one of those little publicized gifts of the Holy Spirit. You can actually see through a person to see where their tongues are going.
No.
I mean, it was an innocuous little smooch was all it was. But then again, as I alluded to, the Republicans have a history of tying themselves in paroxysms and just flipping the fuck out over displays of affection. Way back when Al Gore got the nomination and he kissed his wife, to hear Flush Flimball talking about it, you know, who keeps his wife in a pit, it's been so long since Mrs. Limbaugh's been heard from that I think the authorities have just given up. But to have heard him talking about it way back then, you would have thought that he hiked her skirt up and started humping away.
Woo-wee!
Right there in front of all them Democrats.
You go back to John Voight and, you know, calling us evil and stuff like that. I don't get it. Oh, my mom had a there's this guy, I guess, that comes over to the house periodically, and he's a Trumper. And remember how, you know, we kind of, when, what's his name? What's the pedophile that just died in jail? Epstein.
Yeah, Jeffrey. Yeah.
So he went on, he was going on and on about how Hillary had Epstein killed.
Sure. Well, I don't know if you know this, but along the same vein, they had a big QAnon rally on the Washington Mall today to commemorate 9/11. The collective IQ of the greater DC area fell by, oh my Jesus! Hundreds. And in fact, there was a reporter on the beat covering what was being said there. And among other things, Will Sommer, who is with the Daily Beast, tweeted, QAnon rallygoers now roundly booing the concept of vaccines. Earlier, someone advised drinking turpentine if you're sick.
Well, we're having issues out here as well in Cali. Speaking of because they've closed a lot of the loopholes for people to not have to get their children vaccinated if they want to go to a public school. Look, you know what? If you want to kill your own progeny, fine. If you don't want, I mean, it's child abuse, of course. But if you don't want to get your child vaccinated, fine. Keep their asses at home. Homeschool them. You know, my son is grown. I don't have to worry about it. And when he got the chicken pox, it was before they had the chicken pox vaccination. But it was because somebody sent their child to school with the chicken pox. So, you know, this new law is a direct result from the outbreaks of measles. Why are we having measles outbreaks, Bob?
I had that story last week when I was covering for Malloy. In Wisconsin, public health officials are scared to death because the vast majority of counties in Wisconsin are way, way, way below the vaccination rates needed to confer herd immunity. And so when the measles breaks out in Wisconsin, it's going to be devastating. Because the number of kids, and Wisconsin's another one of those states that lets people just make it up as they go along and come up with, I claim a religious exemption for vaccinating my kids, you know, because QAnon. I guess QAnon's a It is horribly dangerous, but things like QAnon are a clearinghouse for crazy. Yeah, this now I got a story I've been sitting on for about a month.
A month?
It might have been more beneficial back when it first broke. But the FDA, about a month ago, finally put a new warning up on its website about something called MMS, which is short for Miracle Mineral Solution.
Oh, no. This is not going to end well, is it?
It's a blend of sodium hypochlorite and citric acid. Now, next time you got to, you know, do a disinfecting job and you're there at the grocery store and you pick yourself up a jug of Clorox or, you know, the Kroger brand or whatever. I can't stand to buy name brand anything. You'll notice it says bleach, and then underneath it in smaller letters, it says sodium hypochlorite. Well, when you mix sodium hypochlorite and citric acid, you get something called chlorine dioxide. And it's also a bleach.
That is sounding good. I'm terrified as to where this is going.
Well, it's because the stupid people think it cures things. And among other things, up to 50,000 human beings in Uganda have been harmed by this treatment.
Is that what they were trying to use for AIDS in Africa?
Well, it's for what ails you. But it's a scam that's run by a guy named Robert Baldwin, who's a preacher from New Jersey, and a clairvoyant from Britain named Sam Little. And they've been passing out Miracle Mineral Solution in churches all over Uganda. And they've apparently convinced about 1,200 preachers in Uganda to give it to their flocks. It can be life-threatening. It induces nausea, vomiting, diarrhea, symptoms of severe dehydration. But the worst part of it is that desperate parents pour it down their little baby's throats. In the name of Jesus!
So, you're telling me that this huckster, this person is saying that it's okay to drink bleach? Because that's what it is, yes?
Yeah. Among other things, they claim that it cures malaria.
Excuse me, what?
Yeah, hold on here. I got audio. I think you can hear it.
We had arrived at a hospital in Uganda to prove malaria can be cured within 4 hours.
And so you've got a whole bunch of people gathered together, desperate, scared, and they show up with this.
So Hot Koto, around about 100 kilometers. This is a village hospital. We are going to be conducting a malaria clinical test on chlorine or chlorine dioxide therapy to prove it can actually cure malaria in 2 to 4 hours.
Cure malaria in 2 to 4 hours. Don't you think they'd be selling that shit hand over fist? But what makes it worse is eventually you'll see video of a little baby getting it poured down its throat. And not liking it.
Yeah. What is wrong with these? I mean, when you talk about... Now, see, that's evil. When you know that you are, when people prey on the desperation of others
and,
to make them
right, and it's not just Uganda. Back earlier this year, they had the Genesis 2 Church of Health and Healing had a to-do in Washington State. Effective alternative healing. Drink bleach, drink turpentine, you know. And what stupid adults do, I guess, is their business. But when you're doing it to children, that's a special kind of evil. And here's the thing.
That's my problem.
I was over in the Ben Franklin the other day. I love the Ben Franklin. They got those, you know, those bulk spices and those Amish products that are so darn good. And there was a lady standing in line behind me, and the cashier, the clerk was talking to her, and she said, "Yes, yes, we're going to Uganda next month." I've never been to Africa. And my pink little ears perked up because I knew what was coming next. Really? Uganda? Yeah, we're going with the church. Because Uganda is one of these places that has a special draw for evangelical, fundamentalist, homosexual Christians. Because it was Uganda where American white wingers convinced the government to pass a murder the gays bill. Brother Deacon Asa says, "Nothing new, Bob. You did a bleach up the butt story on this very program on Prayer Meeting Wednesday back in 2016, so in a way you broke the madness wide open 3 years ago."
Wait a minute, what? The bleach, the butt, the what?
Yeah, bleach enemas for babies. Cures autism.
The things that I miss if I don't listen every day. Because I would remember that one. So bleach enemas.
Uh-huh. For autism.
For but autism.
But you drink it if you want to cure the malaria.
Again, in Uganda and these African countries, you don't have to worry about the FDA there, do you?
No, and you don't have to worry about the government particularly getting in your way. And, you know, the Ugandan money, Ugandan poor folks' money spends just as well buying a new jet as American poor folks' money does.
I can't see. This is, again, this is what bothers me about Christianity. It's just, look, even when Jesus was kicking it, he got pissed off at the money changers and all that. I mean, he went through the temple kicking ass. So this is nothing new. The church has always been around, you know, taking advantage of people and, you know, all in the name of Jesus. While raking in the dough. How much is the Catholic Church worth?
I don't know. I don't know if anybody can count that high.
That part.
I mean, you got to have the kind of math they use to calculate interstellar spaces.
We need the sisters from Hidden Figures.
Exactly.
To calculate those numbers. Because it is, I mean, I just look at, you know, the Catholic Church and, you know, and Joel Osteen and all these other people who are ridiculously rich while their, you know, their congregants are like trying to pay their light bills and buy groceries and just live. Because I think about Joel Osteen, you know, during which hurricane, because there's been so many, when he, you know, didn't open, you know, his church to let people in. And, you know, because why, you know, and it's like, wow. So do you think Jesus would be sitting by just letting people possibly drown and die?
No, Jesus would be on the outside drowning too.
Yes. Yes, he would be. So when, you know, I just really want to understand where, what kind of Christians these people are. But then again, I mean, like I said, like I know, it's all about the money and it's all tax free. And that's what bothers me the most, because I'm like, wait a minute. So, and I've, you know, because I guess this is one of those billable Rick questions. So the money that goes into churches is tax free. So does that mean the pastors of these churches don't pay taxes?
No, they do, but they get to hide a bunch of it.
Uh-huh. Because they can deduct it and hide it offshore and all this other bullshit. Oh.
Well, like for instance, they'll own a mansion, but the church will own the mansion, but they own the church. And so since the church owns the mansion, they don't pay real property taxes.
Just like the song that you play on at the beginning of Prayer Meeting Wednesday, Jesus should have used their accountants.
Yeah.
Because, so they own the church, and since the church is the church, they can't pay, they don't pay taxes on the money from the church. And so the church owns, so that means the church
it's called
owns.
Billable Rick just jumped in and said it's called the parsonage allowance.
So they get an allowance for, you know, for the Rolls Royces, the jet planes, and the mansions. Okay.
Yeah, you don't pay taxes on the jet either. Because the church owns the jet, and the church is tax-free, and you own the church.
Woo! That's genius. I mean, it is...
And understand, it's not just Christianity. It's everybody else, too. Except for probably indigenous religions.
I mean,
dip our toe in history. You know the Religious Freedom Restoration Act that was used to say that bakers didn't have to bake a cake for a gay wedding because that would mean that they were violating their religious principles by participating in the gayness of the wedding.
Mm-hmm.
That all came about because of court cases where the local authorities were shitting on indigenous people for their indigenous religious practices. And so Congress moved and said, hey, don't do that. That's their religious freedom too. And then, of course, they turned around and the evangelical industry looked at it and said, hey, look at this. We can use this. And it's always the way with the money in this country. The idea of, say, civil rights violations were meant to remedy institutional racism in this country. But lo and behold, corporations took a look at it and said, I think we can use this to our benefit. And so corporations are constantly litigating on the idea that their civil rights have been violated.
But they're not fucking people.
No, they're not.
No, they're not.
But yes, they are.
Yes, they are. Citizens United.
It's like what Bishop Willard said. Corporations are people, my friend. Human beings.
Putting it into
the vernacular, Jimmy in the Great Northwest says, religion is some good pimping.
Ooh, yes, man.
I think Jimmy gets a cowbell.
I mean, yeah, he gets a cowbell for good pimping. Because, I mean, it's just, again, it's just, you know, between, you know, like you said, it's not just Christianity. I mean, Scientology, all of them. Bob, can we make up a religion so we can get paid?
We can certainly try.
I mean, shit. I wish we could make up some kind of religion so it'll be tax free and all that. So, you know, you wouldn't have to constantly, you know, do these funds. What's the balance now of how much?
To get even for the evening. Yeah, we're we're at $300. Stephen jumped out there, and then folks said, "Well, that's nice." By the way, Brother Deacon Asa, serving as the Horn Ad Hoc Research Department, says, "Tracy, that was Hurricane Harvey." He said, "By the way, I'll bet Joel Osteen's licking his chops, waiting on Falwell U to go by the wayside so he can open his own university."
Oh, that part too. Yes, because Falwell is Liberty University. Yes.
Yes. I just prefer to refer to it as FU.
I think it's perfect, but I'm trying to do a challenge in my head. Okay, so I'm going to put out a $25 challenge.
Okay.
If I could get two other people to match the 25, in other words, if we can get $50 in, I'll throw in another 25, so that'll knock you down to 200 something, right?
That'll knock to exactly 200. Yeah. So let's see. We'll call it Tracy's. We got to start our own religion challenge. And this will be the initial passing of the plate. And so you're going to put down 25. If two people put in 25 more each, or any combination that runs up to $50, doesn't have to be two people at 25. It can be 5 at 10 or 10 at 5. But we got to get $50. Then you're going to throw in another 25, and we'll be down to only having this evening. We'll actually be caught up with Monday and Tuesday.
That part.
Cool.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes. So
Tracy's, we gotta form our own religion challenges on the table, and the deacons are passing the plate, even as we speak.
Because see, here's the thing, and look, I know what it's like to struggle. I know things are tight. But here's the deal. We need this show because I need it for my sanity. On the days when because I'm not on Facebook a lot anymore, really, and so I don't check the Horn Facebook page to see if there's no show or something like that. But on those days where I tune in and I don't know there isn't a show, and I get the repeats or the jingle or what have you, it floors me, because usually on the days that I deliberately tune in is on those days that I particularly need to hear some common sense and some realness and some, hope, and or just keep somebody to call out the bullshit, the clap back, you're so full of shit and I'm calling you out on it kind of thing. So I'm imploring. I'm not begging. I can start singing "Ain't Too Proud to Beg," but anybody that, even if it's $5 here and there, $5 adds up. I never forget. I had years back. I don't know what I was. I had a subscription to something and it cost $5 a month. And when I called in to cancel it, the guy on the other line, on the other side of the line, said, "Oh well, what's the problem? It's only $5 a month." And I'm like, "Honey, no, never say it's only anything to somebody, because you don't know their situation. $5 a month adds up to $60 a year. That's something that I could be using on something more important than whatever." I said, and at that time, I could go to the store with $5 and buy, instead of going to the 99-cent store, I could buy some beans and some rice and some cornmeal and some eggs and stuff, or just some cornmeal and whatever, and make some beans and rice and hot water cornbread. Because, with the hot water cornbread, you don't need a lot. And so, and I said, that with $5, my son and I can eat for at least 2 or 3 days. So never say only $5.
Oh, there's no such thing. That's true. That's true. And one of the, you know, I fervently wish that there was some way for me to just fund all this and never mention it again, because I gladly would.
Oh, well, trust and believe. Well, you already know that if I ever hit the lotto or anything like that, you know you're done with the fundraising forever, right? You already know that. That's just.
But it's interesting. You kind of went down this path because there's a story out there, and I don't know if you ever went to the website or not, but I did quite a bit because they did some pretty good journalism for a while. It was thinkprogress.org. And Think Progress was the journalistic arm of the Center for American Progress.
And, oh, okay.
And about 4 years ago, the journalists who worked for Think Progress organized. And they got themselves a union, and they got union protections. And about a week ago, the Center for American Progress said, fuck you and your union. We're going to shut down, yeah, and shut down Think Progress. And said they were going to keep the website, and they were going to just staff it from internally. In other words, they were going to fire all their union workers, and then run it on scabs.
And this is a progressive.
And this is the Progressive Center for American Progress, run by Neera Tanden.
Who is a
woman of color. And their complaint was that it wasn't profitable. Well, journalism is not meant to be profitable.
It's not meant to be profitable.
And what really it boiled down to is they were doing some good journalism, and every now and then, Think Progress would do an article that pissed off one of the Center for American Progress's donors. Great, big, corporate donors.
And that's why you can't have corporate donors.
And so there will be no more Think Progress.
That's unfortunate.
But, you know, but they, you know... Well, the reason I mention all of this is because, you know, there's an inherent conflict in trying to make a profit versus trying to be independent. And we're independent here because of people like you and all the subscribers and all the people who kick in on an ad hoc basis throughout every month. And I know it represents a sacrifice for people. But I also know that it represents an opportunity for everybody to get this program who wants it. I wish a whole lot more people knew about it and we could add to the conversation that way. And, you know, I've often said, you know, if it got to where we needed 12 phone lines, I'd get a new box and we'd have 12 phone lines and take 4 hours of calls take as many calls as we could get just to expand the conversation. If I got to go 6 hours, I got to go 6 hours. And I would.
That would be so, it's just, you know, it would be so awesome. I mean, because my mind goes, you know, those fantasies about what would happen if I actually had, like, you know, not Oprah money, but pretty, you know, money and still that I can
some doctor yeah Dr.
You know,
Dre afford. Money not Oprah Dr. money Dre but Dr. Money. Dre money
not Oprah money Dr. Dre money and it's like, you know, without the misogyny and the domestic violence
and the overpriced audio hardware.
That part too, way overpriced for some fucking headphones, seriously. But it's like, you think about the things that if a true progressive, if you know, because, you know, there's so many quote unquote rich progressives, but they're not doing what I think or what you know, you and like Scott have talked about, it's like why we don't have truly a, you know, progressive radio station. There's enough people with money, Tom Snyder and all these other fools running around screaming about this and that. Why don't you have radio stations? Because people still listen to the radio.
And, you know, it's interesting, the article I read about Think Progress specifically mentioned Tom Steyer. What an ego-driven vanity campaign that was. And still
yes.
is. Do some,
it still is.
Do some good with that money. And I'm not, you know, I'm not talking about the horn. But, you know, for once.
I am.
Well, you are. Yeah. But... But you know the problem occurs and look, it happens happens here, you know, we've lost contributors and subscribers over me not saying whatever they wanted to be said, and I guess that's
isn't
just
that what happened. Hey, isn't that what happened in the 2010 election?
2016,
you know, the Democrat 2010 too. Remember
the
midterm?
Yeah.
Because the Democrats were like, well, he's not doing what we want him to do. So we're not going to go vote. Hello, Tea Party.
Yeah. That, I mean, and last night in North Carolina, the Democrat lost by 3,000 votes. And there were something like more than 20,000 who just didn't bother to show up. Registered Democrats.
Yes. So he lost. He lost by 3,000 votes, and 20,000 motherfuckers just decided not to go and vote.
Right.
Registered Democrat.
Whatever, you know, for whatever reason. Now it's North Carolina, so they've made it as difficult as possible for people
that
to vote.
That part too.
Yeah.
Well, see, again,
and I'm happy to announce that your challenge has been met.
For $50?
Yeah. Elizabeth and an anonymous person. Some people don't like to be mentioned. Yes, it's been met. And see, that's, you know, this whole idea of, oh, I have to be excited before I'll go and vote. You know, okay, you can't get excited about saving your country. You can't be excited about being a patriot who can look at your grandchildren when you're old and you can say, America is still here because I got off my ass and went and voted?
That part, you know, especially in North Carolina where, you know, it's a backward state as is anyway. So if you have a glimmer of hope to get some, you know, righteous representation, you know, I don't, and when you don't go vote, you have no right to complain. You absolutely, it's like, wait, so you decided not to vote. Okay, fine. And the Democrat lost by 3,000 votes. But I don't want to, you better not ever fix your mouth and say motherfucking goddamn thing if you didn't go vote. Because see, like
You know, get out the vote is everything. And California and Oregon, you know, you get to vote by mail. They make it as easy as it can, as it can be.
That's what I was about to say.
But in the rest of the country, you have got to bust that ass to go and cast a vote. Especially,
yeah, see,
I've been voting in the same building for 20 years. Seeing the same poll workers every time I show up. My white ass got ID'd last time, and so did Agnes.
And if they ID your white folks, Lord Jesus, if they take a Yahoo changes. See, this is why, you know, when you think about when people don't vote, because, see, if you get out there and vote, then you're helping the other people who are being, you know, their votes are being suppressed. Because if you get out and vote, and get Democratic representation, then they're going to start fighting these fucking these voter suppression laws. You know, the voter ID laws and all that bullshit. And I'm getting a case of the terrors because, speaking of California, I keep hearing, I think they're talking about putting those damn video machines for our polls. And I'm like, please, God, no. So, because I keep hearing about new technology coming to California for elections. And I'm like, no.
I don't want to hear about any election technology that's not paper and something to mark the paper with.
And mark the paper with or stick it, stick the...
Yeah.
Or the hanging chads. You know, I don't want any... I don't... Especially since, we have, Moscow Mitch saying, not doing anything about stopping the Russians from fucking with our elections again.
Because it's going to happen. But remember, I try so hard not to scab pick from 2016, but there are still a bunch of people over on the so-called left.
Ha!
What left? We don't have a
left.
We don't have a left in this country. The closest thing we've got to a left is a center. All right, because what passes for left in the rest of the world isn't even mentioned in this country. There are still people out there in the Sparkle Fart powered Unicorn Cavalry Purity Patrol who think that that Russia messing around in the election. It just didn't happen. Never mind the evidence. Never mind the facts. It just didn't happen. And it's all because Hillary. Which to sort of double back and put a bow on things is one of the moments that makes Jerry Jr. sitting there saying, our criminal associates will sort out the leakers and they will be punished because they've stolen emails from Jerry Falwell University. I wonder how many times that motherfucker said, but her emails. I wonder how many times he railed in convocation about Hillary Clinton's, you know what I mean?
Boogada, 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 boogada.
Yeah, brooga, 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 narble, warble, whoosh. It's Hillary just... Clinton, brooga, brooga.
Brooga, brooga.
Pants suit, warble.
I mean, because again, like you said, you don't want to pick the scabs to 2016, but when you hear the bullshit and these people screaming about, well, I didn't vote because, Hillary is the lesser of two evils. I'm like, bitch, do you really know what evil is? Because if Hillary Clinton was president, we wouldn't have Betsy DeVos as Secretary of Education. That part. If Hillary Clinton was president, we wouldn't have, who are they appointing to be head of the...
If Hillary was president... we wouldn't almost have invited the fucking Taliban to come for an ice cream social at Camp David.
Fucking David. Fuck!
And then, of course, because we kind of moved on from prayer meeting Wednesday, there's this. He lost his mind today, days from having been talked out of having that aforesaid ice cream social with the Taliban at Camp David. Today, he swore, we'll bomb them. We'll definitely bomb them like they've never been bombed before, and I'm not even talking nuclear.
Huh?
Brooga, brooga. Yeah. Oh, there's all kinds of crazy. But let me share. Yeah, no, he did, yes. I got to share some, going back, I just want you to, because we were talking about, making it possible for anybody who wants the program to get it. I just found out something. everybody, you included, who contributes to what we do here, makes it possible for about 100 other people. It's 100 to 1. For every person who contributes, makes it possible for 100 other people to take the get the program for free.
See, that's what I mean. And I don't, like I said, my thing is, when I have, you have. So, you know, I can't, again, because it's not, I don't even tithe as much as I give to you.
I'll try to get us registered as soon as possible. Yeah, Jimmy in the Great Northwest says, I'm with Tracy. If you don't vote, don't bitch to me about anything.
Don't say a motherfucking thing. You can't say shit to me. Because when you start, and that's the first thing I ask when people start bitching about what's happening in this country and or in L.A. or whatever, and I'm like, did she vote? Well, I'm like, did you vote? Fuck you then. Shut the fuck up. Because you can't say anything to me. You can't complain to me about anything. You know, again, back to the old boy losing by 3,000. Come on, votes. I'm in California, and like you said, they make it incredibly easy. I'm permanently registered to vote by mail. So as soon as I get my ballot, I fill it in and I drop it off. And when it comes to important elections, like the last presidential election or what have you, I still fill it in and I take it. I actually physically take it to the polls. And that's the cool thing. I could drop it off at any poll that I want to within LA County, you know, depending on where I am. But typically, I do everything by mail because it's just so much. And I've never worried because, again, I live in California. I've never worried that when I've done the vote by mail that my vote wouldn't be counted, that somehow my ballot would come up missing or whatever the case may be. You know, I there's certain things living in California I don't think about. I don't think about being able to vote. I don't usually think about have to worry about my water being clean. I don't usually have to think about, you know, I don't have to think about my health care. I don't have to think about, you know, the things that I don't have to think about because I live in California. And the sad part is you shouldn't have to think about that shit in West Virginia. Todd shouldn't have to think about that shit in South Carolina. Steve shouldn't have to think about that shit in Georgia. And on and on and on and on. Nobody in this country should have to worry about being able to vote. Should have to worry about having access to clean water and clean air. And for God's sakes, health care and education. And whatnot and so forth and so on. But because people don't get out and vote, who can vote, because let's face it, you know, there are states, you know, that, you know, where you can't vote because they're doing everything within their power to make sure that certain people don't vote, Democrats. So there, the only excuse for not voting nowadays is if they're making it so hard for you to vote that you can't. So now we got to rely on the people who can vote to vote for people who will remedy the situation. But then again, there's gerrymandering and
which means that in 2020 the goal ought to be the goal in any election should be 100% turnout for whatever your party is. Here's the difference.
Period.
Here's the difference. Trump got his ass handed to him in the burbs last night. That weird little Republican who should never have been allowed anywhere near Congress is going to be there, but he's going to have to run again in 20, okay? And Trump got slammed in the burbs, and somebody told him about it this morning, And that's why he was rage tweeting about Hillary Clinton on the 9/11 anniversary. No shit.
Yeah. That part.
Oh, and by the way, we just got a going back to the miracle mineral solution, the bleach enemas, with that subject line, Lady B just wrote in and said, now, Bob, I'm pretty sure that bleach enemas are an effective treatment for autism. After all, a dead kid can't have autism. Now, can they? No, they can't. So
see,
true.
No, if they're dead, then they're not autistic anymore, are they?
Oh, and just one last thing. Because I'm going to try to make a little room in case anybody else wants to jump in, but I got to share this with you. Because, you know, you've got Alex.
Yes.
We've got our kids here. And you'll notice I just said, we've got our kids here. I mean, Agnes and me.
Mm-hmm.
Well, today there was a big announcement that flavored vaping is going to be banned under the Trump administration.
Wait, what?
Yeah, they're gonna move toward banning vaping.
But aren't they beholden to big tobacco? So how are they gonna do that?
I don't know. I don't know if they know. But here's the thing: so he was doing that thing where he sits on the edge of the chair in the White House and looks like he's using a squatty potty. It's on you. That's
followed by the
shiny hiney.
What's the other one with the
shiny hiney? but you can imagine it's the same pose he uses when he's twooping.
Yep.
And they asked him about why they decided to ban vaping. Of course, these are punk questions, because the reason anybody would do that right now is there's apparently an epidemic of, not an epidemic, but
people dying.
A lot of people getting sick and some people dying from vaping.
Mm-hmm.
So they asked him about it.
Oh.
And he turned to say, I guess he was saying that melanoma had something to do with the decision. But check this out, because this is too weird for words. Remember, it's because melanoma, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, just so we're clear on that.
Mm-hmm.
Vaping has become a very big business, as I understand it, like a giant business in a very short period of time. But we can't allow people to get sick, and we can't have our youth be so affected. And I'm hearing it, and that's how the First Lady got involved. And she's got a son together that is a beautiful young man, and she feels very, very...
Okay, you got it, right?
She's got a son?
She's got a son together.
She's got a son.
Ooh. Now, we've talked about his...
Was he trying to say, we have a son together?
Right. Our son?
Our son?
But it kind of almost makes you wonder if he's really little Boron's daddy.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's already at 13, he's taller than Nitwit Nero, and he's about the same height.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's about the same height as Eric now, or on the way to being.
How tall is Nitwit Nero?
He's 6'2", but he's not 6'2".
Okay.
He's shorter than Justin Trudeau, and Justin Trudeau. But what's telling here is, you know, we've talked over the, especially Monday and yesterday, about his disordered mind and about his mental, his intellectual disability. I swear to God, for a minute, for a minute there, he thought he forgot that Barron was his kid.
Mm-hmm. Or is he? Dun dun dun. Oh my God! Oh, speaking of things that we do in California, did you hear about the bill that passed that is treating or is going to be, you know, out here in Cali that Uber and Lyft drivers are going to be classified as employees?
About damn time.
Oh, but it gets even better. So, in response, I haven't heard anything about if Lyft has responded, but in response, Uber. See if I can find the story. In response, come on, stupid phone. Never fucking works when you want it to. Let's see. Oh, Uber won't comply with new California law requiring contract workers to be reclassified as employees. Ready for it? Wait for it.
Violates their civil rights.
No. Even better than that. Saying drivers are not core to its business. See what I'm saying, huh?
Well, that's because eventually they plan to have all their cars be driverless.
Yeah, but that's eventually. And I'm sorry, I'm not getting in a driverless car. Fuck you.
Nope.
Not gonna happen. So, yeah, so they're saying that that drivers are not core to their business. So who then what's core to their business? Because they don't. I mean, help me out, Bob.
No, that's first rate question. You got me licked. I mean, you're Uber for God's sakes.
Right. You know, Uber's early reaction is just one indication of the scrambling by employers across the state. See, now, that's going to affect people, even like my company, because I'm like, so if they can classify Uber drivers and Lyft drivers as employees, what's the difference between us and them and cab drivers?
Well, isn't that part of the thing is to level the playing field?
Yeah. So, I mean, because it's going to be, it's huge because, you know, because there's a lot of people who work as quote unquote contract workers, you know, so, you know.
Independent contractors,
real money.
Right. Yeah. And then they get a 1099 and get eaten alive at tax time.
Right. Right. So, I mean, this is huge. So I'm going to see how it plays out. But it's, you know, but when Uber says that drivers are not core to their business, I'm like, well, again, like you said, they're leaning toward getting driverless cars. But I'm sorry, you know, a lot of people aren't going to want to get in a car that doesn't have somebody driving it. And that's just still a long way off in California. It's far enough away that they're not gonna be able to stay in business without drivers. You know, because it's not like it's around, you know, the technology is, you know, right around the corner and all that good shit. Well, it is basically, but it's not around the corner that it's gonna be, you know, approved to be used here in California. Because we're still having issues with people, you know, getting into accidents in, you know, driverless cars and shit. So, no. Mm-mm. That part. So, yay. Good. So, I'm looking forward to I'm looking forward to seeing how this plays out. Because it's huge. Because, you know, there's a lot of companies who have been for years giving away with, you know, not paying employees, you know. I mean, because basically, you know, as much as people say, oh, you're an independent contractor. Well, if I was an independent contractor, if I'm not an employee, then, okay, you tell me how much I can, You tell me how much I can charge when I pick people up. You tell me that I have to wear a certain uniform. You tell, you know, because if I was a truly independent contractor, Bob, couldn't I tell you how much I wanted to make?
Absolutely, and that's usually the calculus that goes into determinations of what actually constitutes employment within the classical sense is what's called the right to control the details of the work. If you tell me when I have to show up, if you tell me when I can go home, if you tell me what I have to wear, if you tell me what I make, and in your case, what you can charge for a fare, ding.
Right. Because
you're an employee, not a contractor.
Not a contractor. Because I think the reason why they can get away with it for cab drivers is because the cab companies, quote unquote, they don't set the rate as far as the cabs are concerned. The city does.
The city does, right. As opposed to, so for instance, let's say you've got to have there at the fabulous Shea Tracy. Let's mm-hmm. say that you want to bring in a stonemason to put a stone front on the front of your house. Well, that guy's going to be a contractor. And so
yep.
that guy's going to show up when he can show up, and he's going to draw a circle in the dirt, and he's going to wait a half an hour, and if three raindrops fall in there, he ain't going to work that day. Cuz you can't
nope.
you can't do stonemasonry in the rain.
No, you cannot.
And sure, you can say I won't use you, but you are not his employer. You are in a contractual relationship with him.
Mm-hmm.
And you can say how you want it, but you cannot go about telling him how to make it look how you want.
Because
nope. he's a stonemason.
I can't tell. We can agree as to how much he's going to charge me, but I can't tell him how much to charge me. I can't say, well, I'm only going to pay you this amount of money. He can say, well, fuck you, I'm out.
Right. And those are true arm's length contractual relationships. Uber isn't.
No.
But Uber, but you know, let's cut to the chase. Uber's evil.
Oh, they are.
And so, you know, going back to what we were talking about earlier, if we had a sales department here, some guy in checkered pants and a checkered jacket that completely clashed with his checkered pants would be in here tapping me on the shoulder going, Bob, I just made a sales call on Uber today. You can't say Uber's evil.
Right. But since you're independent and, you know, independently funded by the Horn community family, you can say Uber is evil.
And because Uber's evil, I can say Uber's evil.
And because Uber is evil. I mean, what they charge, you know, the customers and what they actually give the drivers is horrible. I mean, when Uber first started, it was cool because they were charging basically the same rates as we were charging as cab drivers. So, you know, it made sense that a lot of Uber cab drivers quit driving cab because it's like, shit, it's a lot cheaper for me to buy a car and drive for Uber. I'll be making more money. I'll be making even the same amount of money and less. Because I have to pay a lease every week in this car, and it's a ridiculous amount of money. You know, if I owned a car or if Uber was paying the way they used to, I would have quit a long time ago.
Because, but see, I mean, the reason they paid the way they did was to get people in, and then they put the screws
right.
to them because that's the American corporate model.
Because that's the, you know, get you sucked in.
Hey kid,
the
first
one's thing, you know,
it's the opposite of hey kid, the first one's free.
Right.
Yep.
So it's like it's horrible. I mean, it's it's horrible to what they've done to the cab industries across the country, especially in New York. I mean, how much people were paying. I mean, like out here, when I first started driving cabs, the seal, because we don't call them medallions out here, we call them the seal. It was, if you had a taxi, a sealed taxi was going to cost you like at least $100,000 to get a taxi seal, if not more. Because you can make, I mean, driving cab.
Because it's a license to print money.
But it was.
But no more.
It was definitely a license, but no more. So, you know, now you got these Uber drivers, like, you know, talking and asking about, well, how much do you make driving a cab? And I'm like, well, I probably make more than you do, but not by much, really, because of, you know, and like, I'm not faulting Uber drivers.
No, I understand. I understand.
You know,
but think about the Uber model at the same time that you've got running in the background Republican talking points. And what I mean by that is, you know, Republicans hate big government. So a city that regulates cab fares and who can be a cab.
That
well,
part.
Well, that runs completely at odds with Republican ideology. So this, you know, Uber is basically some seriously Grover Norquist shit. You know, you're going to tear down the big government and starve the beast. Because if you can kill the cab industry, you're pulling some significant revenue out of the city's pocket. I mean, I learned a lot when I was in Philly about, you know, just parking.
Yes. That part. I mean, parking here, let's not even go into how much it costs. It depends on where you are. Like in the valley, and depending even in the valley, but most places in California and Los Angeles, for the most part, it's free to park, pretty much, anywhere you go, except for like where you go to like medical buildings and stuff like that, because that's where the grift comes in, is because, you know, limited amount of parking, especially up and down, you know, Ventura Boulevard and stuff like that. There's very limited street parking and stuff like that, so you're forced to park in these parking lots. And so, like, there's a medical building by my house. Now, the maximum daily rate to park in that building is $10 a day, which is incredibly cheap for parking. But even with that said, one of the things that the penny asks about my neighborhood is because on my street, even though it's two-hour parking, which it shouldn't be, it should just be restricted parking, because I guarantee every time somebody, you know, if I don't come home by a certain time in the morning, there's nowhere for me to park because people, instead of paying to park, they park up and down my street, they block my driveways. It's a nightmare. It's a nightmare.
Yeah.
But these
are nightmares in every American city. Because real estate values are so high that even the amount of money that comes in from parking cannot begin to approach what you can get by charging outrageous rents in a downtown area.
Right,
and it eventually has to become unsustainable.
And because people aren't going to be able to afford to park. Period.
Right, and eventually that's basically the end of America's love affair with the automobile.
Mm-hmm. Because if it gets too expensive to park, if it gets too expensive to, you know, buy gas, did I tell you how much it is a gallon for gas on Catalina Island? When we went? Are you ready for this?
Yeah.
Like $6.50 a gallon. And that there's a 25-year wait to have a car on the island. So most of the people on that, the majority of the people on the island, they use golf carts to get around.
And those golf carts are electric, right?
I don't, some of them are, but I think some of them are still gas. But they might be, you know, I think they are electric. If you know, actually they probably are electric. So, yeah, so those, you know, gases. But eventually it's going to get to the point where people can't, I mean, right now, that has kind of gone down in L.A., but it's creeping back up. So we're paying on average for regular $3.59 a gallon. I have flex, my car is flex fuel. So, and it finally got a gas station in the valley that sells it. So I pay for my gas $2.59 a gallon on average, which has saved me quite a bit of money over, you know, the past few months that I, you know, since I discovered that gas station. Because typically, you know, I gotta use, you know, regular gas. So it is what it is. And I know you got to go because I'm pretty sure there's other people who want to talk. But one last.
Oh, wait, no, I got one for you.
Uh-oh.
I heard from Lady B again. Subject line, this. Tracy, when I have, you have. Me, Lady B, in a deep, stern black preacher's voice. Let the church say amen. Which is as close as I can come to an impressive black preacher voice.
I can't even do a black preacher's voice, and I grew up listening to black preachers for the majority of my life. But it's just, again,
Lady B brings the A game again.
She does. Because it's true. I mean, I can be a generous person. I mean, when I see people trying, like today I went and got my car washed, you know, do you guys have those car washes that are you just drive through in your car and it washes your car?
Yes.
And then, you know, you can vacuum it out yourself and all that. Huh?
Brushless car wash.
Right. So today I went to this one that I've been driving by, and I was like, because I made a mental thing. My car. When I was on my way to the gym this morning, I could barely see out my windows because I was driving in the dark, and it was just like, okay, bitch, you got to get this car washed because that's kind of trifling. So I made a mental note to go to this car wash. It was one of those drive-through car washes. And so the guy, you know, I pulled up. So this guy, he, you know, you drive through the car wash, but before you drive through the car wash, he takes the brush with soap and he brushes your car all the way around the car, Bob. He brushes your windows, and I'm in the minivan, and the tires and all this. And so I went through the car wash, and I was going to give him a tip, but before I could roll down my window, he already put me through the car wash. So I circled back around, and I gave him a tip. And from his reaction, I could tell that does not happen on a regular basis.
Yeah, he'd never seen one of those in a while.
You know? And, you know, he was like, God bless your heart. And he was genuinely happy that I gave him the $5, you know, because he, you know, I know that's part of the service, but typically, when you go through these car washes, it's not. You pull in, the car wash goes, and that's it. You know, there's nothing extra, but this man went around my entire vehicle, even the roof, with the brush and soap and got most of the surface dirt off of my car. Now, to me, that's worth giving somebody a tip for. You know what I'm saying? Because that's manual labor. He's working. And I'm pretty sure he's probably getting shit wages from work, you know, at the car wash. That part. So,
you know, there's a song playing in my head now, right?
Which one? Working hard for the money, or
no? Working at the car wash.
Car wash. Whoa. Talking about the car wash. Yeah. See, you know. It's just, I can't stand, because I work in the service industry, and I cannot stand it when people treat us as though, you know, we are beneath them, or that, you know, you could talk to us a certain kind of way, and they don't show their appreciation. I'm sorry, but if I pick you up from LAX, And I load up your luggage and all that. And I give you, you know, you ask me questions about the city, and I give you general information, and I go beyond just, you know, talking to you. But not only that, but I got you to your destination safely and in one piece. That part. You know, you're still alive. And driving in California, in Los Angeles, that's saying a lot, that I can get you from point A to point B in one piece at some time. So, and you don't show your appreciation, or you don't even say thank you. I mean, I don't say that you have to tip me, but come on. Because I don't own this cab. I'm just providing a service. So I appreciate people who serve, you know, who provide a service. And I wouldn't call what you do providing a, yes, you do provide a service. You provide a service for me to keep me sane.
You know, I do love the number of people who say that to me.
You know, because you keep me from going back on those times when I'm stuck on the 405 or the 101 or whatever the fuck on my way home. And I just need to hear some sanity because I've heard some crazy shit or saw some crazy shit or whatever the fuck happened to me that day. 3 o'clock for me, Bob, at times, you know, because it's funny. I don't ever listen to the podcast because I can never remember to do that. But because I know a couple of people, oh, just go listen to the podcast. I'm like, Bob, that's extra stuff that I have to do. Please don't make me think about other things to do.
Believe me.
But, but on those days at 3 o'clock my time, when I, you know, Monday through Friday, and I can turn on, I can flip the tune in, you know, hit the tune in app on my phone, and I can play you through the radio in my car, and I laugh and I cry and I get angry and I scream what the fuck, but there's sometimes I need to scream that what the fuck, and I'm not screaming it at somebody on the freeway or, you know, whatever. You are my evening exercise, because now that I've gotten into the habit of exercising in the morning, you clear my head. You get me ready for the rest of the evening, whatever I have to deal with.
Yeah, I guess it's kind of like my filthy morning habit. You know, Agnes and I wake up and we see what the millionaires are saying about us little people over there on that program. And
right, and that's, I love it when I text you in the morning, you know, and it's 6 o'clock in the morning your time, and I'm waking up at 3 or 4, and you're like, what in the entire fuck are you doing awake? But it's because, you know, I'm going to bed earlier. And now, I kid you not, I've gotten to the point now, Bob, I don't even have to set my alarm anymore to get up at 3:30, 4 o'clock in the morning, which is annoying as fuck, but, you know. So, you know, we have our little thing. So this is what I'm saying to people that are listening now, and also my brothers and sister, and, you know, that are listening, that will be listening later on the podcast this evening, tomorrow morning, or whatever the case may be. Whatever you can give, please do.
Bob, thank you, Tracy.
Bob is a national treasure. When they talk about national treasures, I like, yeah, whatever, side eye on that motherfucker. But you are a treasure to me. And I know you are a treasure to the rest of the community, but especially to me. Because, like I said, there's been you have talked me away from the ledge on many occasions when you don't even know that I'm listening to the show, other than I might send you a snide email when somebody makes a comment or whatever. But other than that, there's a lot of times that I'm listening that I don't even say a word. I just listen. So just keep, you know, I need you to stay on the air. So I'm begging,
well, you know,
in the name of Bob.
We got a birthday coming up next month.
October. Yes.
Yeah. October is the birthday. And,
how many years?
I lose count, but all told, we'll be beginning our 16th year, something like that. But we started in February 2004, but then we had to reboot in October of 2005. And the, October 24th, 2005 is the reboot. So, you know, 15th year, 16th year, you know, I guess the horn's eligible to drive or something. Yeah. But from Jump, it's been month to month. But, you know, that number just astonishes me that if everybody who listens and is able would tell somebody, the audience for this independent little effort could explode overnight. Oh, and
I do, and
by the way, I just got this in from Shorty in L.A. It's possible that the vaping decision was made because Melania may have busted little Boron honking on a jewel in the White House bathroom. I don't know that's true. I'm not sure, but it would kind of make sense. And all of a sudden, you know, when the kid gets into some shit and the two parents are standing there, and I mean, I know this to be fact, when the kid's good, it's my kid. When the kid's fucks up, it's your kid.
It's her kid.
Yeah.
Your kid.
So the fact that little Boron became her son, because, you know, Trump would never vape. You know, Trump doesn't even drink.
But see, that means he would actually have to coordinate being able to breathe and exhale, and, you know, because remember, and I don't know what words to use now because I don't want people screaming at me, you know, that I said the wrong word or whatever, so I'm not going to say. But what is it? Intellectually challenged?
Intellectual disability. Yeah. Well, you've got a convert. Shorty just wrote in and said, Tracy's right, national treasure. And then part two, fuck corporate radio. Shorty is officially becoming a recurring monthly contributor. It's my religion now.
Mm-hmm. The church of the Kincaid.
The high church of Bob.
The high church of Bob. And brother and sister, and we need more converts.
Well, it's like I told Scott and Joe and Tamara and Billable Rick last night down in San Diego. I said, you know, wherever two or three are gathered in my name, there I am too also.
That part, you know, again, I tell people about your show all the time. Because I mentioned it in passing because I'll be saying something, and they're like, well, I want to listen just to hear you rant. I mean, I'm like, I don't call all the time. And I said, you know, but don't listen, don't call or listen to the show because the possibility of hearing me, because it's not about me. It's about you and the message and what you're trying to do. And seriously, back to, you know, these kajillionaires with all this money, and these vanity, you know, Schultz and Steyer and all these motherfuckers, it's like, it just boggles my mind, you know, about all this stuff that they try to do. And I'm like, y'all have the means that are necessary to get out progressive messages over the air on radio.
Yeah, you know, it would. I admit it would be fun to look at one of those gajillionaires and say, "Listen, you're going to be the money. You're not going to say shit about content. Things are going to get said that you don't agree with, and you're just going to live with it because you're just the money.
You're just the money. You don't get to call. You don't get to shut me down because I call Uber evil." Or I said Starbucks.
See, way back in the bad old terrestrial radio days in America's fifth smallest radio market, I got called in on the carpet one night because I was on an insurance company rant one evening, and I just for the sake of being cute, I casually referred to, you're not in good hands. with All Snake. and you don't have a and Snake Farm is not your good neighbor. Bob, I advertised with us. You can't say that. And I said, well, you know, considering you're the we're the only talk radio station in this town, I can say that. Why don't you tell them to nut up and go advertise with the other talk radio station and then laugh in their face and said, hey, dumbass, we're the only game. Lighten up, that Francis. Part. But that's why I was never in radio sales. Tracy, I got to get out of here, dear.
You got to go. Oh, God, look what time. We just talked our way all the way through to almost the
Yeah, and Lady B followed up and said, Tracy, Bob, you're a treasure. Me, let the church say amen. And Tracy and Lady B said, when I have, you have. Expect a little change on Friday. Truly our treasure. Agnes is probably hearing all of this, and she's got a bucket of ice-cold water to throw over my head and a C-clamp to put on it to just to calm down
Of the swelling?
Yeah, just to compress the swelling.
Before you go, real quick, how far in polls are you?
In which?
Pose, the show. How many episodes in are you?
Pose? No, we're still, we're at episode 3.
Okay. Yeah, because I know you haven't seen the episode that I know you haven't seen, because if you had seen it, I would have gotten a text message.
Yes.
Last
week there was a whole lot of falling asleep real quick after the program was over, because it was about 11 o'clock and everything by the time I got done. I don't watch it without Agnes right there by me. We watch things together.
Can't do it. You can't do it. So when you watch the episode that I know is coming up, it's going to be a kick in the gut. I'm warning you now, but it's also, anyway, I'm not going to say anything else, but I can't wait to discuss it with you. If, you know, hopefully it'll be on a day that I can
right,
call
because
in.
The no-spoiler rule applies to this as well as Breaking Bad.
Right. So I really want to have a serious discussion about that episode, and you'll know why. I'm not even going to tell you which episode it is, but because you know me and I know you and we know each other so well, as soon as you and Agnes watch it, you'll know.
Yeah, I'll know. But, yeah, exactly. Tracy, have a good evening, dear.
All right, so you Bye. Too. And thank you for listening to me rant. And thank you guys for contributing and keep the dollars coming in. Love you. Bye.
Thanks. Bye now. The one and only Tracy. Lady cab driver from out on the 6 7/8 or somewhere in the wilds of Los Angeles. Billable Rick says, Bob, means you're going to get a note from Ron and Raleigh. As the good book says, ye must be careful lest your head become the size of a red giant and explodeth from ye pride. But then again, I too am a follower of the Church of Bob. Perhaps I can come up with a clever tax dodge for contributions to the Bob Church. Thank you, Billable Rick. And Brother Deacon Asa says, Bob Kincaid, brain enema for your evening drive. I think that's supposed to be a compliment. Sometimes it's hard to tell. Let me see here. Doggone it. I hate it that, we'll get Reggie on yet. I had the stress line going and then it didn't want to connect, but then it connected and then I lost Reggie. So we got to get out of here. And thanks to everybody. Thank you, Stephen, for getting us started with I Have a Show on Me. Thank you to Tracy for, the plate passing for the Church O' Bob. That means we got only left with $200 this evening. That means $400 tomorrow night. Thank you so much. I hate sweating the bills, but you know, we're not going to talk about the Soros money anymore because that's too freighted with anti-Semitism. So maybe we'll just move over to the Steyer money. Until Tom Steyer wakes up and realizes that his money is far better spent supporting people who will do the work. You get the idea. But thanks to all of you who do keep the program going. Thanks to our new subscribers. Hey, thanks to Speed. Is that you, Speed? For jumping in. Thank you very kindly. Actually, it'll be $3.95 tomorrow. Thank you. thanks to all of you who share your precious finite time engaging in this little conversation. Thank you to our all-volunteer staff. Thanks to Sparky and Steve in the chat room. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, HeadOn.live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. 20 years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Later, y'all.